Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining Dr. Perletta Ramos and Roz Shell in Living Life Powerfully. We help you turn the ordinary into the extraordinary by claiming your power, getting your heart in the game, and learning how to live from the inside out. Let's create more happiness and success in your life.
Welcome to our show today on part five. This is it. This is the conclusion of the health series. And today we are discussing spiritual health. We're going to bring it all together. Okay, so what are you thinking? Well, I'm not a spiritual person. It's just not for me. And you may be thinking, well, the notion of either devout nuns with scornful faces or New Age hippies chanting around a wildfire, they leave no room for you because you are a person of reason and deep faith in the scientific system. But if you really think about what spirituality means, you'll realize that different from religious, which is following a set of a mode of rules to attain enlightenment or purity, spirituality is instead your personal relationship with the universe, who you are, and the reality of all that is around you.
Well, did you know that based on a Pew Forum survey that in the U.S., 75% of Americans identify as being Christian, and about 60% belong to a religious congregation? Those are overwhelming numbers. Did you know that?
No, I did not, Perletta.
Yeah,
very interesting.
What I was telling is that during the September 11th terrorist attack on the U.S., 90% of individuals said that they relied on their spiritual beliefs or religious beliefs to help them cope. So many of us in this country either identify as being spiritual or religious. But what's interesting that you're bringing up is that you don't necessarily understand the difference. So as you just said, religion is an organized set of customs and beliefs. Quite often there's an idea that there's a divine or superhuman power being, and people identify with the shared customs and practice and ideology around, you know, this set of beliefs and customs. Whereas spirituality is not as formal in terms of spiritual traditions or practices or an ideology. Rather, it's a search for the sacred where people use their beliefs as a process. People can be both religious and spiritual, or not. And so you can belong to a congregation and consider yourself to be a part of a religion, and not necessarily practice an ongoing process where you're working on transformation, or you actually care. So that's the difference.
So. You know, I like what you're speaking to here because I think, you know, a lot of people get those two things mixed up. So we really want to, you know, clear that up. So our spirituality provides us with a sense of who we are, why we are here, and what is our purpose for living. So my favorite definition of spirituality is simple. It's just the direct experience of the sacred. Sacred means that which is central to our lives. All traditions have a central practice where it is either meditative or contemplative, or it's both. Now, this practice allows us to move from having the gross to subtle reality of life. So it allows us to experience. So if you think about the gross, it's every day what we're doing. You know, we go to our jobs, it's focusing on the material things, on our physical reality. But sometimes we're missing what's really central to our lives. And so experiencing, why would we want to experience the subtle aspects of our existence? Because this is what's going to lead to integration, unity, and harmony with ourselves and others, with nature and the universe. That's what I love about the Native American culture, because they are so in tune with nature as they do their practices. Generally, spirituality spirituality, I can't talk this morning, implies a sense of connection. So when you're thinking of that, just thinking of that connection to a reality greater than the perceived physical world. But ironically, our spirituality comes into our focus mostly in times of distress, serious illness, or bereavement. We usually do not give much thought to our spiritual health, really. Our spiritual health is at least as important as our physical health, don't you think? I mean, it has a direct impact on our attitude, behaviors, and feelings.
Absolutely, Raj. And what's interesting when you mentioned this, I think you said the direct experience of the sacred, I look at it more of it's how I live my life, right? When I'm feeling stressed about something, it's how I approach the stress. It's how I work through being connected to something beyond what my daily experience is. And I grew up as a Baptist. And growing up, and then we had a stint going to Jehovah's Witnesses, and then my mother took us to Pentecostals. And I've been to various other religious affiliated synagogues or churches or mosques during my life. And one of the central themes through all of those experiences for me was the desire for the religious organizations to help people really get to a connection to something deeper within themselves to help them, right? Religion and spirituality are very powerful means to help you cope in the world and to be in the world and not be of the world. So we all have worldly concerns, and there's a way to be in this process called living and not get caught up in it. And what's great from a social scientist perspective is that much of the research that's out there indicates that there's a very positive relationship between religious and spiritual belief and well-being, so that if we commit to a religious practice and or a spiritual practice and we get fulfillment from it, it can help us develop attitudes and behaviors that help us cope with being in this world so that we don't feel like we're of this world and engage in things that may be unhealthy for us.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's really important, Perletta, too, you know, how we define spirituality for ourselves, because that's going to help determine the degree to which we experience our own spirituality. So what you're talking about is it's how you live your life, and how you live your life is how you experience it. So let's just do a quick spiritual health check, okay? Just ask yourself these revealing questions, and these may be a little rhetorical for you, so don't feel like you have to answer it right now, but just think about them. So do I feel a sense of connection, worth, purpose, commitment, peace, and hope? Do I have a positive outlook on life? You know, how are you when you wake up? Not on even Monday morning, you know, Monday morning is challenging, but how about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, even Saturday or Sunday? How are you when you wake up? Or do I experience feelings of, you know, just emptiness, anger, anxiety, hopelessness, loneliness, apathy, or animosity? Now, whether you answered yes or no to any of these questions, today's show is going to help you deepen your conversation and perhaps help you discover some ways to improve this aspect of yourself. So regardless of your personal feelings on the subject, if you're still searching for an inkling that you may indeed be spiritual, or you are hard set against it, let's just talk about some actual experiences, and maybe you can relate to some of these. So you're laying there, Perletta, imagine this, you lay there in the grass at night, and you just look up at the stars with reverence and awe. Have you ever done that?
No, Raj, I've never laid in there isn't much grass in Arizona, so maybe like 10 years ago, yes.
Oh, I was in Michigan, okay. You'll have to come to Michigan,
grass.
Yeah. So you know, if you can find your stillness and the grandeur of the universe, this could be a signal of experiencing spirituality. You're connecting deeper to the truth within, and you're calming that human ego. Now, let's take another example. You shift your mindset from negative to positive. I think we've all done that. Now, imagine thoughts are energy. Where attention goes, energy flows. So if you're seeking to stay in a positive mindset, you're naturally already connected to what or whom you may not know, but without even knowing it, you're creating a message that is now having an impact on something larger than yourself.
Raj.
Okay. Uh-huh.
You mentioned a moment ago that sometimes people don't rely on their spiritual beliefs until something happens in their lives, right? How how do you make that real, what you're talking about? Because I don't think most Americans are like laying on the grass at night looking up at the stars. And I think people sometimes find it challenging when they're in the world dealing with negative situations to immediately turn it into something positive. We struggle, many of us, to do that when life happens. And so how do you use your spiritual beliefs to help you when you're in the midst of dealing with life?
Okay, so how do we use the spirituality? Okay, first we have to notice it in the small things in life. So, yeah, you may not be laying on the grass. Do you have a desire to travel? Do you have a desire to just go somewhere and just go to the lake and be with the water? You know, what is your feeling when you're attaching to something that is bigger than yourself, and now all of a sudden you forget yourself? Okay, so we've got to learn to do this in everyday living so that, Perletta, what you're talking about, when those things hit us, okay, those bumps in the road, or sometimes they're like earthquakes, you know, we've already connected to that part of us. And we can do that again. But if we're unaware, when those times hit, we are not going to be able to do it. You cannot sail. You cannot learn to sail in the midst of a storm. You can sail when there is no storm, when the waters are nice and calm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how many of you?
You're speaking to, it's a practice. It's something that you cultivate over time, and you develop a practice. And as you develop the practice, you get stronger and more skilled so that when life happens and you're in the midst of, because we all have chaos or troubling times or people die or, you know, there are accidents and illness and all sorts of things that require us to sometimes, or we have a reservoir upon which we can draw upon for strength, and that can give us peace.
Absolutely. So how many of you, if your friend is in trouble and you are there to help? I mean, that's another aspect of our spirituality. You know, that's that essence to embody the principle that you and all are one. So the actions you inflict upon another will in return be cast unto you. Yep, you're connected again. You know, that do unto others as you would have them do unto you, whether you're looking at the law of abundance or the golden rule or the message of karma. I mean, this is just a fundamental teaching. Or you take a hike in the woods. You know, like we're saying, it's that, you know, when you're reaching out for some serenity, you know, when you want to get away from it all, what is that about? You're trying to connect with that deeper part of yourself, that bigger part of yourself. So I think we all have felt it, you know. Your intuition, what's that? That's another, it's an inner voice which speaks to you at the right time, right place, and in the right way. And by the way, always trust that gut feeling, that intuition. It's 100% right. And, you know, or you're a truth seeker. I consider myself, I love the truth, and so I try to seek it wherever I can. I love when people are talking about the truth, so that's another way. So these are just some of the ways, and I'm sure that many of you can relate to all of these or some of these. But now let's talk about really understanding and deepening our spirituality. So I spoke about the sacred, which is central to our lives. So how do we get access to the sacred? Well, there are two ways. One is an active process. We can actually train ourselves and learn certain skills. We can direct our attention. We can purify ourselves, and we can remove obstacles. Okay. The second way is a passive approach. So this is where, you know, you might be a believer of destiny, or the other way is, you know, grace. It's a divine gift. Grace is always upon us. So Ramana Maharishi said, God's grace is always blowing, but we have to put up our own sails. So that is that harmony between the active and the passive process. So actually, both of these are needed. I love what Louis Pasteur says. He says, chance favors the prepared mind. So what does that mean to me? It means I am responsible for preparing myself, my mind. So I do my part, okay, and then I just keep going without getting attached to any outcome. So I have to trust the process and flow of life. You know, without the trust, we're basically, you know, we're trying just way too hard.
I was just thinking of two things as you were speaking. One of them was trust, and the other one was actually faith. Quite often when we're in a conversation about religion or spirituality, we talk about, you know, having faith. Or growing up, my mother would always say, you know, we need to trust in the Lord and our connection and faith that things are going to work themselves out. And there's an active aspect of that, right? We need to be open to the possibility, which is active, our own inner, getting our own inner state right. And then there also may be activity in the world that we have to connect with in order to bring about the best positive regard. So our personal beliefs, our religious experiences, and how we cope as individuals are really going to be determining as well in terms of how we're able to use the process of spirituality or to use religion as a way of helping us to live a more fulfilling life. And it's really important because the amount of time that we put into a practice, whatever the practice is, and I think you're going to talk about that in a minute, and developing the connection is also important. You know, if we forget because we're busy and we don't practice, things are going to help us during the time of a storm, as you mentioned earlier. Then we may get rusty and the times may be more difficult. And if we cultivate our peaceful inner dwelling spirit so that when something happens outside of ourselves, we're not shaken to the core, when we practice developing that connection and being joyful and being peaceful, when something happens, we'll have a reservoir that we can depend on to help, that we can trust, that will help get us through. And it's also, I think, very important that we have an identification with a community of like-minded individuals. That's why I think going to religious buildings is so important to people, because you're in community with people, others who share the same set of beliefs. So whether you practice a religion or you have a spiritual belief, coming together and sharing your beliefs, your thoughts, the practice makes us stronger, because we are social beings and it helps to support us as well as to provide support from others. So those three things, I think, really can help develop and strengthen our faith and our trust in ourselves, in our communities, and to help us in our spiritual path.
Absolutely. Connection is very important, but there is one thing, Perletta, that you said that I just want to, you know, clear up, is that, you know, it's not necessary. It's not necessary to go to a place, because, you know, organized religion works for some and it doesn't work for others. So I just want to clear that up. You know, this is necessary.
I wasn't trying to imply that people needed to go to anything. The point that I was trying to make was, because we're social beings, and it has nothing to do with organized religion, sometimes people go to group meditations or they go to yoga. It's doing things in community that can be helpful to some. So the point wasn't religion or not religion. The point was really ways in which you can work on developing your practice. That was the point.
Okay. All right. So, so the first thing that's really important is to realize, you know, we wake up every day with the assumption that, you know what, whatever I do is right. It's good. You know, I can see everything clearly. But realizing that our usual state of awareness is usually clouded. Usually, okay? We are not seeing clearly. Realizing this, accepting it, is a good first step into practicing. So taking up a practice which works for you and consistently practicing can aid in the clearing up process, okay? So all of us can have a sacred experience, but each of us will respond to it differently. So let's say you do have a sacred experience, okay? Some people will just say, wow, what a high, and they'll just move on with their life. That's it. It happened. Someone else might say, wow, that was profound, and how can I live my life in accordance with this experience? How can I live so as to make that kind of experience more frequent and an important part of my life? In other words, we each have a choice, okay? What will you do with that experience that you've had? So Houston Smith, he wrote a beautiful book, he's the author of The World's Religions. He says, the challenge is to transform flashes of illumination into abiding light. And I think that's what we're all out for, to create these flashes, these glimpses that we have into a continuous abiding light. So all around us, think about this, all around us there's rich or poor, and everyone is seeking happiness. The rich don't own it, the poor don't own it. Everybody's seeking happiness, fulfillment, contentment, joy, just to name a few things. And a client asked me a really interesting question, Perletta. She said, how many different stages do I have to go through before I'm spiritually awake? And, you know, this is interesting because in one sense, we're all one, right? It's an indivisible reality. What is in the first step of our spiritual evolution is also in the very last step. So what do I mean by that? What I mean is that we are becoming aware of something. All the time, when you wake up, you become aware of something. How does your body feel? You know, what does your day look like? You're always becoming aware. You get to work. It may not look like the way you thought it was going to look, so you open up to something else. Right now, you are witnessing the activities of your body. As you move further along the path, the spiritual path, you will witness the activities of the mind and then the heart. And in the next step, you're simply going to witness yourself witnessing. And if you tune into the process of witnessing, it is the same process. It's indivisible. It's still witnessing. But if you look at the object of witnessing, yeah, that we can divide it into parts. Like I mentioned earlier, we're going to go from the gross to the subtle energies. So this is an experience that's going to be unique for each and every one of us. And our deepening awareness of the reality of life is going to lead to understanding and a connection to our source.
One of the things that you spoke to a bit earlier was the fact that we may each define spirituality or our own spiritual path differently, which is so beautiful. You know, whether one practices Eastern philosophies, which includes, you know, Buddhism or Hinduism or Taoism, or whether there's a Western religion that one practices, you know, Christianity being the umbrella for that. What's really important is developing a consistent practice, which we talked about earlier. And that's cultivating what I love the Dalai Lama talked about, which is love and compassion, or patience or gratefulness or generosity. And many times prayer and meditation can help one to maintain a positive sense of well-being and to develop their connection, interconnection with themselves. I know you practice meditation, Raj. How
yes,
has that
I
been
do.
Helpful mm-hmm. for you in developing your connection with yourself, and I would say developing your spiritual path?
Well, it's definitely, for me personally, it's a very integrating experience. I feel a lot of harmony. The days that, let's say, if I don't meditate, I can definitely tell the difference. Okay. You know, Perletta, I love the way that Osho explains this whole process. He says, there is a joy of variety on the outside, and there's a fountain of joy and happiness on the inside. Now, so he explains that, you know, it just really hits me every time. He says, imagine yourself having a beautiful home with an inviting, bountiful garden full of colorful flowers. And the inside of the home and the beautiful outside garden belong to the same owner, you. So you are free to enjoy the beauty of the garden as well as the warmth and coziness of the living room. Now, so imagine you're out in the garden and all of a sudden it gets really cold out there. So then you come into the warmth of the living room. And if you're wise, you will build a huge window in your living room so you can enjoy the warmth inside and the beauty of the outer garden at the same time. So our inner and outer life, it's exactly like this. Often when we are focusing on material things, we get carried away and we forget our inner gift. And if we're focused on our, you know, outer world, if we're focused on our inner world, we feel like we need to renounce the outer world. So we end up living a very limited life, you know, without really being able to, you know, look at both of those things together. And our minds think that we have to make a choice.
I was going to say, that's back to the comment I made earlier about being in the world and not being of the world and how to really...
Yes.
To how to really do that in a meaningful way, to be centered here without regard to what's happening, like to be focused and aware and present, but not caught up. It's actually quite a challenging task.
It's not easy. It's very challenging. No, it's a constant, you know, but what we're doing isn't easy either. I always like to look at, you know, it's not giving us very good results, is it? What we're doing is, it's just we're habituated to it. That's the only difference.
But
it's the way we look
being,
at the world.
I was going to say, that also speaks to it being a practice. So as we develop, you know, greater sense of love and compassion, and that's why the masters talk about, you know, very simple things, like going within and cultivating prayer and meditation and using yoga. All of those are ways of developing the practice of going within so that we could be more present in ourselves as we're living without, right, out in the world.
Yes. You know, Albert Einstein is the one, isn't he the one that said there are two ways of looking at the world, one as if everything is a miracle and the second as if nothing is. So either way of perceiving the world influences your mindset and expectation
Absolutely.
For life,
Absolutely.
Right? And a single life in this viewpoint is magnificent, precious, and worthy of one's time. You know, likewise, you know, like your personal self requires appreciation of just how wonderful a reflection you are in this universe, your potential, who you are, all the beautiful and not so beautiful aspects of yourself. It's a process of unfolding. And you, I love William Blake's words. You know how we talked about going from the gross to the subtle? He says, to see the world in a grain of sand and a heaven in a wild flower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour. That's what we get when we go from the gross to the subtle. I think we're out of time, Perletta. That show went by so quick.
Half an hour is not enough, Raj.
No, it's not. It's not. I hope we will be able to, you know, continue this conversation at some point in the future. Be sure to tune in next week as we begin our two-part series on relationships. Next week, we will discuss relationship with self. And we're all familiar with the saying, we are our own worst enemies. Well, this will not be true for you after next week's show. So
Amen,
thank you
sister.
So much for joining. Thank you so much for joining us today. Feel free to reach us at pearlrajradio@gmail.com and like our Facebook page, Living Life Powerfully, to stay updated on the upcoming events. Stay true, stay empowered, and enjoy.
So long.